It's the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour, live from Stratford on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We now have on the show, perfect. David Wright is here, who is the town historian. Can I call you the town historian?
You may. Yes.
Okay. You seem a little hesitant there, but I mean, you're the guy. You're the one I was told I need to reach out to, and I'm so glad that you are part of our diner tour today here in Stratford. Welcome, David. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
First of all, why history for you and Stratford in particular?
Stratford is an amazing town. It was the eighth town founded in the state of Connecticut. So our history goes back to 1639. And part of the interesting thing about living in town is we're surrounded by history everywhere we go. So just steps away from this diner is the original postal marker that was placed on along Ferry Boulevard by Benjamin Franklin in 1753. And when you know those kinds of things, you start realizing that it's not just that, but we have so many historical things within walking distance of this diner, within walking distance of any part of this town.
Yeah.
And when you know to look for them, it brings a whole new perspective to your town, and you feel a connectedness to basically 385 years of history.
Give or take. It's funny you say that, David, because in the beginning of today's show, one of our other newer members on the team for WICC was saying, why does it feel like Stratford's different? And he had never done the diner tour before. And I said, you know, growing up right next door to Stratford, I have family who have been in Stratford my whole life. Stratford hits different because I think you guys not only have history, like you said, but you've held on to it. And you've continued to, not want to say capitalize on it, but in a sense, you have. I mean, when I look at later on, we're going to have Booth Memorial Park and Museum here. We had the Air and Space Center here, you know, Sikorsky. There's so much history and there's so much pride in Stratford, and it's grown generation after generation. I don't know if you agree, but Stratford to me is a unique spot right here in Connecticut.
Well, I do agree, and it's even more interesting when you, I'm not sure what town you grew up in, but if you grew up in Shelton, Monroe, Trumbull, Bridgeport, or even the eastern part of Easton, you were originally part of the town of Stratford. So the borders of this town originally went from the Sound all the way up the Housatonic River to the Newtown border.
I wonder if I was part of that. So I grew up on the Stratford, if you're not Stratford, excuse me, the Easton line. So like if you're Sport Hill Road, where Fairfield meets Easton.
Yeah, you're very close to what
am
would have
I an
been
almost
our
Stratford resident? That would make sense. That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we were a huge town. It was all claimed originally by the settlers because they wanted to have room for their children to be able to live here as well. So when they claimed the property, they claimed they were all gathered right around the old Shakespeare Theater. That's where the original settlers were.
Wow.
But they claimed much more land than that because they knew one day they'd have children that needed a place to live. So many of the town founders, their names are still carried by their descendants in town today. And some of them can trace their roots right back to England in 1639.
That's amazing. And you guys also have historic lighthouses across Connecticut, but in particular, the one that is going to be featured actually during Connecticut's open house later this month. I mean, talk a little bit about that too.
Stratford's lighthouse that exists today was built in 1881. The original lighthouse was built in 1822. And that lighthouse was the third lighthouse built on Long Island Sound at the time that it was built. It was a beacon that replaced a basket of wood and later whale oil because our shoreline is so hazardous. It's so filled with huge rocks that reach out into the Sound. And sea captains knew that, and they were pretty terrified of sailing too close to Stratford shore for risk of foundering their boats. So in 1822, it became obvious to the U.S. Lighthouse Service. The Lighthouse Service was subsumed into the Coast Guard in 1935. But prior to that, the Lighthouse Service was a whole separate agency of its own. It was a federal agency. Lighthouse keepers were appointed for an indeterminate period of time until the Lighthouse Service, the U.S. Lighthouse Service, decided to release them or they decided to retire or whatever. So we had a number of different lighthouse keepers over the years. And our longest serving lighthouse keeper was a man by the name of Theodore Judson. And he took over the lighthouse in 1880.
Wow.
He served there until he submitted his resignation. He submitted a letter to President Wilson asking if he could retire. It was a federal appointment, and he needed the president to sign off. So he really didn't hear anything. The president was ill. And even though officially or unofficially he was retired in 1919, he didn't leave being the keeper until 1921.
Oh, my goodness.
So he spent about 41 years. He raised his children out there. There was really very little way before the trolley came to lordship in about 1912. There was just a tiny bridge that would get you across because it was all swampland. There was really no road going out there, so they were very much on their own. Theodore's wife, Kate, educated their children at home, and they were largely isolated for 9 months out of the year, so they didn't get into town much. He grew a lot of his own vegetables and raised cocker spaniels. And so our open house day that we're having, generally we do tours out there, and the tours are by appointment, and we talk a lot about, we actually reenact Theodore Judson and his wife Kate, and Kate and Theodore welcome you to the lighthouse.
We have David right here, who is the town historian in the great town of Stratford. And for Open House Day in Connecticut, which is happening later this month, Stratford is being highlighted specifically for the lighthouse. And David, I didn't want the time to run out and for you to get cut off before, but I wanted to pick up where we left off. You said there are even going to be reenactors who are welcoming people to the lighthouse when the Open House Day happens for Connecticut. So let's continue just the conversation there.
And if I could just add something, Melissa, it's not really that the lighthouse is being featured for Open House Day on June 14th. All of our museums in town will be. And they're all having their own hours and times, and people will either be able to attend for no cost or for a reduced cost. So we'll be participating in that. Normally, when we do lighthouse tours, Theodore and Kate do a whole program. Lasts about an hour, and people go up into the lighthouse and can climb the stairs. On Open House Day, because of the number of people that more than likely will show up, we really can't do that. It's just too much to try and do with that crowd. So we have time slots that people may sign up for on the town's website, stratfordct.gov, and then if you look for town departments, look for town historian, you can actually see the Lighthouse Open House Day and sign up for a time, because we really want people to have a great experience. In the past, when the Coast Guard has given tours of the lighthouse, they've opened it up from 9 to 3. They've let thousands of people show up. And it means that only one or, you know, maybe a couple of hundred people at most might be able to get through the lighthouse in that time. And I've learned a lot from that, so we're not doing that. We'll be restricting people to 20 people in a time slot. They'll have 45 minutes so they can go up into the top of the lighthouse at their leisure, spend the time that they'd like to spend there, take pictures. You're 35 feet in the air. You have an unobstructed view for miles and 360 degrees. And it's just a beautiful sight from up on top of that lighthouse. So it will work differently than it has in the past. I imagine we'll probably have a lighthouse tour next June as well. So people who'd like to just do the lighthouse will have an opportunity. If you want to spend the time, we'll be posting more tours for the fall.
Right.
We take July and August off because the interior of the lighthouse, whatever the temperature is outside.
Oh, I imagine it's
10 or 15 degrees hotter than that in the lighthouse. So that no one has a stroke. We just eliminate July and August.
That makes sense. We appreciate that. We appreciate you doing that, David.
The people who don't have strokes appreciate it as well.
I'm sure they do. And I do want to highlight again what David had said. If you go to the town website, StratfordCT.gov, they have tabs for different departments, and you can find a town historian tab. That's where you're going to find David, and he's got updates there constantly throughout the year, not just what's going on for Open House Day in Connecticut. And David, I want to thank you so much for what you do, first of all. Clearly, just in this interview, it's very clear why you are the town historian, but I also want to thank you so much for coming on our diner tour here in Stratford. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks for your time. You're very welcome. Again, David Wright, who is the town historian here in Stratford. And again, if you want to connect with what's going on with the history of Stratford, want to know what events are going on, tours, things like that, check out StratfordCT.gov, and it's under town historian.